So this is the third installment of the Rav Avadia Yosef Tshuvot. And he has two tshuvas that I'm familiar with, which are both interesting and important regarding the mitzvah of tzitzis. The second one is actually the one which I don't think we would get to, so I didn't put it on the sheet. And that is, he has in the beginning of his Chelek Bet, Simon Aleph, he discusses the idea of wearing your tzitzis out. And actually he is very against that. He thinks that that's a form of yuhara, of religious arrogance. And in many Sephardi circles, they still, I think, practice that. I think it's Chavadat Chelik Bet Siman Aleph, if I remember correctly. I believe so. 2-1. Like many things in the Sephardi Haredi community, there are definitely parts of that community who have adopted a lot of external Ashkenazi practices, you know, whether it's the black hat or the tzitzis out. But for Rav Avadia, at least, he was very against, and he wanted Sephardim to keep to their Mesorah. Please join us of not wearing them out. So that's an important and interesting topic. Why yes, why no, what the issues are. But I thought that a more basic question is the obligation to wear tzitzis at all. I want it to be known for the record, and especially those listening on the internet, that this particular topic is not impelled by any particular need at Yeshiva Har Etzion for tzitzis in this. I want to reiterate that. But I will say that over the years, in various circles, among even with, you know, good kids, I personally find it, you know, I could be that you can understand better than I can, but I find it sometimes in the most surprising places, there's a yetzer hara not to wear tzitzis at all. And, you know, people who don't know better know better, but I mean people who do know better, that's why I call it surprising. I find it surprising not because I don't have a yetzer hara, but I just don't have that one. So it's always harder to relate to things that you don't have a yetzer hara for, obviously, but even yetzer haras that I don't have, I understand sometimes. This one I just don't understand. Is it really that uncomfortable? I mean, you know, if you don't have some particular skin condition, I'm not sure why it's such a yetzahara for certain kids or sometimes even adults. And there's like a ton of easy mitzvos, like lots of schar. It's like a bonanza of schar you could get for relatively, you know, no effort. So that's like my editorial before we start the actual tshuva. But obviously, notwithstanding the editorial, the reality is that there are people who have a nisayon. And one of the nisayonot, you know, I think, or part of the nisayon is fueled by the topic of this tshuva. That is to say, that people are aware that on some level, it doesn't seem to be as obligatory as maybe they made it seem in elementary school. So once people learn that, all of a sudden that sometimes feeds into a kind of yetzer hara, I would say, not to wear tzitzis. So, you know, maybe we'll do a little bit mustering at the end, maybe not even necessary, but obviously the first thing is to kind of use Rav Avadia's erudition and take a step back and see what does the Makor actually say about this question. Again, a person could have yetzer hara even if it's an absolute chiyuv, you know, not to do it. But I think you all know that it's a little bit more complicated than that, and Rav Avadia Kidarko does a very good and comprehensive job of summarizing the issue. So let's take a look at the question. Again, this is Nichave Dad, Chelek Dalid, Simen Bet. If anyone is curious, in Chelek Dalid, Simen Aleph, he discusses the minimum size of a kippah. But we're not talking about that today. Anyway, so that's another very interesting tshuva. So says Rav Avadia, Sheila. Im yeshchiyav lilbosh tamid talit katan, is there an obligation to always wear tzitzis? Lekayem mitzvah tzitzis. V'haim yesh lahakpid gam al katanim shegiu lechinuch shilbashu talit katan. A related point, which is going to take up a decent amount of the tshuva, is what obligation should a school or parents have in terms of the chinuch of kids? You know, if it's not 100% a chiyav the way other things might be, does that impact the quote-unquote chinuch? Chinuch not in the colloquial sense, like everyone who's in education or in a school is a chinuch, but specifically the formal chiyuv of chinuch that may be on parents and or the community. So take a look how he starts this tshuva. B'maseches Pesachim daf kuf yud gimel bet shaninu shiva menudim l'shamayim. There are seven people who are menuda. Menuda is like the halachic or talmudic term that relates to cherem. So they're like really, really despised, and they're on the outs. They're excluded, pushed away from Shamayim. Umehem, and among the seven who are in a really bad place, Mish Eino Maniach Tefillin, Barosho Bezoro, you don't put on Tefillin Sharosh or Tefillin Shalyad, or Tzitzit Bebegado, or Tzitzit doesn't wear a Tzitzis, or Mezuzah Bepitcho, doesn't have a Mezuzah. So right away, obviously, the importance of wearing tzitzis is, you know, certainly illustrated by the Gemara. However, the core question that we're dealing with is brought up by Tosfot. When the Gemara says that someone who doesn't wear tzitzis is really, you know, very, very, you know, damned by Hashem, what does that mean? Says Tosfot, fourth line. Shezeu kishyesh lo talit shel arba kanfot ve'eno lobsho. The first opinion, he says, is let's say you really have arba kanfot. You could be wearing them, and you're not. Oh, or I think if you open up our Gemara, I think it says inami. A second interpretation, yesh lomar sh'af al pisha ein lo chayav lachzor v'likno talit shel arba kanfot l'havid atzmo lidei kiyum mitzvot tzitzit. A second possibility, which would be even more ambitious, and you could say more machmir, quote-unquote, is that even if you don't have anything that's four corners, maybe you have a chiyuv to go out of your way to purchase a garment in order so that you should bali de chiyuv. Now, it sounds like, if you take just the words of Tosfot literally, even in the first opinion, he didn't say that you have a chiyuv to put on the beged. Right? The first opinion was, you own such a beged. The second opinion is, you don't even own such a beged. But it seems like, according to Tosfot, that no one says you have a chiyuv to take the beged, which you may or may not own, out of your closet and put it on. And yet, despite that fact, that would have been the most, you know, kind of minimalist, easiest pshita. But Tosfot includes a step two and then a step three, or two beyond that. And either one of those, we're not sure which one, but either one of those are that which the Gemara seems to be condemning. Again, so it could be you're just the guy who grew up, you know, in your nice firm home, and you have your what he calls talis cotton, what you and I call tzitzis, and they're in the drawer, and you didn't put them on. That's the first opinion. Bad enough. But the second opinion says maybe the Gemara is even being critical of someone who doesn't go out of his way to get tzitzis. But either way, it sounds like there's a criticism of someone who's not wearing tzitzis, despite the fact that there doesn't seem to be any indication in the Gemara that there's a strict halachic obligation to do so. Yes?
Is there not another category of someone who has a beged and just that he wears that hasn't put tzitzis on it?
Does it have four corners?
So
if you say when is there a chiyuv to wear tzitzis, I think that's what everyone would agree to. But this, I think the assumption, the way I would understand, you know, I understood Tosfot, is why doesn't Tosfot just say that? Because the Gemara is not describing something as black and white as when are you over an assay. The Gemara seems to use this more poetic or, you know, very extreme language of minudin l'shamayim. Right, you're not. It's not. So it sounds like what Tosfos is saying is ain achanami. Maybe we're not talking about a case where there's an actual avera, and yet, nevertheless, by avoiding the opportunity, in one case it's somewhat more modest. I have the tzitzis; they're right there. I didn't put them on. And in some cases, it's even more, you know, demanding. You should have gone out of your way to buy a four-corner garment. I think that's what Tosfos is picking up on. Why the Gemara didn't just say, you know, the Gemara's not making the comment that this is the chiyuv. You have four corners, you have to wear. That, I think, is obvious. The Gemara is saying that there's a certain criticism. I think, ein hachinami, if you were wearing a four-corner garment and you didn't put on tzitzis, so it could be that you're also menuda bin hashamayim. It's just that you don't need to come on to that. You're actually just violating an avera. Understand? Okay, that's what I think. Anyway, let's continue in the tshuva. So, getting back to this point that maybe we even go so far as to say you have to go out of your way to buy a beged. So he says there at the six, seven lines down, in the end of the line, Kamosha Matina b'Gemara Masechet Sota. Shemoshe Rabbeinu, very famous Gemara. The Moshe Rabbeinu hayim mitavel hikanes l'eretz Yisrael. Right, we know Parshat Etchanan, Moshe gives hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of bakashot Hashem that he should be able to enter into Eretz Yisrael. And the Gemara says, and you know, it was the famous Chazal, what was Moshe so, you know, desperate to go in just to see the mountains, you know, to taste the falafel? What was so desperate? And the Gemara says, why? Kedesh yuchal lekayim mitzvos hatluyos ba'aretz. So this seems, says Rav Avadya, analogous to this possibility of the Gemara. Was Moshe doing anything wrong by not keeping Shemitah in the Midbar? By making Mafresh, Trumos, or Maestros? The answer is no. But he had this tremendous desire, attitudinally. He had a desire to go into Eretz Yisrael so he could have an opportunity to fulfill more mitzvot. Similarly, according to the second possibility, or even maybe you could say according to both, but certainly according to the second one, maybe the Gemara is being critical of someone who doesn't have Moshe's attitude. We're not talking about Eretz Yisrael versus non-Eretz Yisrael, but the idea that you should be looking for opportunities to do mitzvos, not looking for loopholes to get out of mitzvos, right? That's clearly the distinction. V'chein kosav b'sefer harokeach. Fine. Now, another Gemara, another Chazal about this. Hine b'menachos amru. This is maybe the most famous Gemara when it comes to the non-imperative necessity to wear tzitzis, or non-obligation but imperative to wear tzitzis. This is very, very famous Gemara. Menachos mem aleph amad aleph amru kishemotza hamalach as Rav Katina shemisatef betalis hapatura mitzitzis. Rav Katina was wearing some kind of a cape or some kind of a robe or something. That was his beged. But he was wearing one, despite the fact that it was common in those days to wear four-cornered garments. His garment was not four-cornered, or in some technical way, was not obligated in tzitzis. Again, so he's not doing anything wrong in the strict halachic sense. He's wearing a garment that's not obligated in tzitzis. And yet, when this malach sees Rav Katina, hochicho, he gives him rebuke. V'amarlo, mitzvah tzitzis, matahe Allah. Nu, what's going to be with poor mitzvah tzitzis? No one's, you're not fulfilling it. So Rav Katina responded, "V'chi atem onshim gam al bitul mitzvot aseh shehi b'shev al ta'aseh." Again, and I think the simple understanding of the Gemara here is it doesn't mean the bitul mitzvot aseh like not putting on tefillin. If you don't put on tefillin, that's also a shev al ta'aseh. But putting on tefillin is a chiyuv. You must put on tefillin. So Rav Katina is saying, "You're so demanding, Mr. Malach, that you're coming here to give me criticism, to rake me over the coals for a, what we would call a mitzvah kiyumi. Right? If I'm wearing four-corner garments, then I have to put on the... So I'm not fulfilling that mitzvah. So in a passive way, I'm just not getting mitzvah points. But I didn't do anything wrong by commission or even omission. So it's not comparable to eating shreif, but it's not even comparable to not putting on tefillin, I would say. And yet, you're giving me such a hard time for this. Aneo ha-malach, so the malach responded, Kain, b'shat ritcha b'yom pekuda anu onshim gam al bitul mitzvaseh. This is what's known often in the shorthand as be'idon ritcha. There are times, again, this is clearly kind of a metaphysical, theological thing, which I don't want to get too much into a digression of, because that's not what we're doing now, but obviously it's a fascinating thing in that regard. There's this notion of a time when Hashem is upset. Ritcha means Hashem is angry. But Idan Ritcha, there are times where Hashem is angry. Now again, I'm giving you a very simplistic sketch of, divine, reward and punishment. But it sounds like that there's this notion that, yes, in addition to, the annual cheshbon we do on Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, and after 120 years we all have to stand before Hashem to give the ultimate din v'cheshbon, and we could get really, really punished. Nevertheless, in addition to that, there are also times where Hashem is just kind of in a bad mood. Be'idon Ritcha, where Hashem is looking to punish. Now, if you have nothing to be punished for, okay, so then you're good. But, when Hashem is in a bad mood and he's already in a punishing mood, so then, even if you did something relatively minor, you might get it over the head. Again, this is, I hope this is not heretical, but it is certainly simplistic. But we know this. It's a few places, comes out a number of places of Shas. But this is, on a very human level, we can relate to this, right? With ourselves, and certainly sometimes when we've caught the ire of our parents. Sometimes, our parents could overlook something, or just kind of comment about it. And other times, they really lose their temper. What's the difference? So very often, the explanation has nothing to do with you, right? If your mom or dad had a really bad day at work, already in a bad mood, but even Ritcha, so presumably they're not going to yell at you for nothing. But if they came home and you had decided to make dinner for the whole family, they're not going to yell at you because they're in a bad mood. But if you didn't, do your homework right away, you didn't, help your sister with her homework or something like that, which, you often mess up with. And usually it's just like, come on, do it, whatever. But this time they really get upset. Okay, you're grounded, that's it, You can't drive, you can't have a car on most of Shabbos. What happened? The answer is, when they're upset, everything else is magnified. So on a very simplistic level, hold on one second, that's what the Gemara is saying. And again, we have other examples of this as well. And what a classic example of something that might get caught in the net, says the Gemara, is tzitzit. You're right. It's not necessarily the kind of thing you have to do an al-chait for. You don't have to do a vidui for. If you weren't wearing a four-corner garment, there's no sin. It's true. You'll say, listen, maybe it was a good idea to get more mitzvah points, but I'll be samach on all my other mitzvahs. Smart idea, bad idea, but that's my choice. Says the Gemara, it's more than that. Because when Hashem is already in a bad mood and is looking at everyone with a microphone, in a magnifying glass, so then when he sees that, not that you did anything wrong in the sense of a veira, but he sees that you had an opportunity to do a mitzvah and you chose not to take the opportunity, Hashem will punish you even for that. On a normal day, Hashem would have punished you for that. But even Richta, Hashem would have punished you for that. Before I take a question, let's just see a little bit more, okay? How about let's go to the end of the paragraph, and then we'll take any questions you have. So then he quotes the Mordechai. Because of the Mordechai, right in the middle of the opening paragraph. The Mordechai, the shame, the Tosos Shant. Shadav Kamish Yishlo Talish Arbakhavos. He limits this. This is a very big kula. This is, who are we talking about? Not someone who doesn't have any four-corner garments, but someone who at least has a four-corner garment, and nevertheless, Machazer Achar Ali Lali Patem in a mitzvah. But nevertheless, looks for other excuses to be potter from the mitzvah. Right? Rav Katina was wearing a cape, a robe, but he rounded off one of the corners or something like that. So technically, he wasn't chayiv. Then, ne'enash al kach. Kamosha omar hamalach Rav Katina. Shemashas charon ah. When Hashem is already in a bad mood and he's angry, ma'anishim gam al bitl mitzvah saseh. V'chozeh b'yemehem shayu regilim litateh. But says the Mordechai, not sure that we'll necessarily apply that nowadays. Because that's when the default was, the minog was, to wear those kind of garments. Litateh patalitot shesh ben arba kanfos. To wear clothing that had four corners. Aval v'zman azeh, the Mordechai says already in his day, sh'ein darkeinu b'begadim shel arba kanfos. Ein b'zeh onish klal. You don't get punished for this. Em eino mekayim mitzvah sisses. V'afilu b'shas charonah. Ein ma'anishim al kach. So the Mordechai has this big, break on the Gemara. It puts the brakes on. He says, I'm not sure it would really be applicable now. And yet, he says, mikol makom, mitzvah min ha-mubchar hi lachzor achar atalis shel arba kanfos l'kayim mitzvah sitzis. Kwa shavatzina b'moshe, shonas avel hi kanes la'aretz Yisrael, ela, k'nelkayim mitzvah ha-tzuyos v'aretz ad kan. And not only is this the Mordechai, v'chein kasef Rabbeinu Moshe Mikutzi, otherwise known as the Smag, so to the Tosfos and Masecha Shabbos, v'chein kasef Harosh, v'chein shut Ginat V'radim, shut Rav Paulim, that's the Ben Yishchai, Shelas Yaakov, v'emashia. Just for the record, by the way, just so I could fit everything on a sheet, because sometimes it really was too much of a digression, in a number of places on the copy I put like an ellipse, three dots to leave out some things, but even like these last four or five lines where there was no actual new content, part of the unique signature of Rav Avadya is the plethora of sources that he quoted. Like if I just stripped the tshuva of anything that was redundant and any extras mar makomos, you wouldn't know the difference content-wise, but you would be robbed of a Rav Avadya experience. Part of what makes Rav Avadya is not just that he found it in a classical Rishon, or in a second Rishon, or in a third Rishon, but then also the tshuvas from no one else ever heard of or opened but him, he can give you chapter and verse as well. So if you put it all together, and I'll take any questions you have if you have still in a minute, we have the basic understanding of the Gemara, which was originally quoted, which was that, nevertheless, despite the fact of not being an absolute chiyuv, you still might be culpable, you still might be punished, given the fact that when Hashem gets angry, Hashem is looking for things, and if he sees that you didn't try to be your version of Moshe Rabbeinu, you didn't try to do a mitzvah and you could have otherwise done it, you might be punished. Nevertheless, despite that Gemara, again a very, very famous Gemara, the more learned know, and now we are among the more learned, that there are a group of Rishonim and Achronim who don't think that Gemara at face value is completely applicable nowadays. And again, I don't know if everyone agrees to that or not, but certainly there is a logic to make the chiluk. Again, I don't know that someone who doesn't wear tzitzit nowadays is completely guiltless of the criticism here of a bad attitude towards mitzvos. But certainly you can't compare somebody who doesn't go out of his way to put on a special garment with four corners, not that that's nothing, but that's not the same thing as someone who is in a culture where they always wear four-corner garments, and he's like the one guy who dresses out of style because he doesn't want to do it. Or he's still doing it, but technically, he cut around the side on one of the corners so that he's technically, putter. That's clearly more objectionable. Now, is the Gemara only talking about that or even talking about people in our day? So Rav Avadya quotes a number of Rishonim and Achronim will say, yeah, on a very literal level, the Gemara was only talking about that. But I don't, again, as we will see in the continuation, and even just logically, clearly there's still a space in between that and saying it's totally, you know, net neutrality. It's totally neutral. There's nothing wrong whatsoever. You know, if you do it, you do it. You don't, you do it, you don't do it. You know, I sometimes refer to these kind of things as like, you know, gefilte fish, right? You like gefilte fish, you don't like gefilte fish. You know, or you're a kishka guy, you're not a kishka guy, right? There are certain Jewish things which are totally cultural, totally, no one would say, I mean, about chulent, okay, maybe that's already on another madrega. That's already in the mitzvah world. But, you know, certain things, you know, if you do it, you do it, you don't do it. I think it's clear that even if you don't go so far as to apply the Gemara to this, it's still not the same thing as saying it's chulent, or it's, you know, or certainly not kishko or gefilte fish. Clearly, the Gemara's comments about Moshe Rabbeinu are more applicable, are still, even if you can't compare us to a generation in which everyone wore four-corner garments, on some level, we are pretty much analogous, though, to Moshe Rabbeinu outside of Eretz Yisrael. And the fact that he desperately wanted to go in is seen not only as a testament to Moshe, but apparently is seen as a model which we should be aspiring to. Whether, if we fall short of that model and we don't aspire like Moshe, we're going to get punished for that lack of aspiration. So the simple reading of the Gemara seems to be saying yes, and Ravaji just quoted a group of people who said not necessarily. Yes, you still have a question?
No.
It was answered?
You answered it.
Good. Okay. Harambam, end of the right column. Per gimel v'chot tzitzis, kosav, v'zeh halashon. Ah, po pishen adam mechuyav liknot lo talit shal arba kanfot li tatepa, kadesh yaseh bat tzitzis. You don't have a chiv to go out and buy a four-corner garment. The komokom ein ro'oi la'odam chosid. Shiftor atzmo mi mitzvah gedola zu. Says the Rambam, it is not the appropriate thing for someone who wants to be a chassid. Again, here this is obviously a chassid with a lowercase chet. Right? Chet in the, you know, chassid in the Rambam's terminology. You know, it's a term that appears in Chazal even before the Rambam, but the Rambam is very clear about a chassid being his term for someone who is spiritually aspirational, someone who's trying to do above and beyond. And that is something that we ought to do. So it says the Rambam, "Ein roi l'odim chosid shi yiftor atmi mitzvah gedol azu, ela li'olam yishtadel lios otu fixus hamechuyevus betzitzis." You should always go out of your way to be wearing a garment that is chayiv to the kaim a mitzvah. Ubiyoser tzarach lihizaher b'mitzvah tzitzis b'shasat tefillah. The Rambam adds a new knetch, a new nuance. That there's an above and beyond everything else, there's a special idea of wearing it during davening. Ugnai gorol hu letamid chacham shemispalel ve'enom utaf betzitzis. It'd be particularly embarrassing and demeaning to not wear it during davening, especially if you're a talmid chacham. Ulaolim yehi adam zahir b'mitzvah tzitzis shara kasuv shkel osa keneged kol mitzvah kulam shne'amar, as the pasuk says, ureisem osa uzachartem es kol mitzvah Hashem. So the pasuk alludes to the fact that somehow by seeing the tzitzis, it will remind you of all of the mitzvos, and says the Rambam, and we'll get to this, the star will turn us to the back page in a second, this is the Rav Avadia has a little bit of a footnote, that it's not just that it reminds you of all the mitzvos, but on some level wearing tzitzis is equivalent to all the mitzvos. So what is, I think, striking about this Rambam is two things. Number one is that he says any of it, right? The Rambam and Mishneh Torah, we often, you know, point out, which is, I think, true. The Rambam is writing a halachic work. He's not writing a history book. He's not writing a musar book. He's writing a halachic work. That doesn't mean that there's never any history or never any musar in the Mishneh Torah. What it means is that when you find history or you find musar in Mishneh Torah, our antennas obviously have to go up. Whoa! Clearly, this is very significant. Clearly, this is not something that we should take lightly. After all, the Rambam, who doesn't usually talk this way, is going out of his way to not only say it, but he didn't put it like in more Nebuchim section of Tzitzis. In Mishneh Torah, the Rambam is writing what would otherwise be, you know, if Rav Yitzchak Kohn had been here last week and in his Musar Shmuz, instead of talking about davening, gave a Musar Shmuz about Tzitzis and more or less, you know, paraphrase these statements, you would say, oh, a Baal Musar is giving Musar. And not to take anything away from that. But this is not that. This is the Rambam in a Sefer Halacha. If the Rambam feels the need to insert that Musar in, clearly you see how serious the Rambam takes it. That's point number one. Point number two is that the Rambam, in his formulation, has freed us, in a sense, from being beholden to the Gemara. because the Rambam doesn't say anything about be'idon rechtcha. It doesn't say anything about being punished. Could be that you could be medayik from this. Enochanami. The Rambam also agrees with the Mordechai and the Smag and the Tosfos that were the Rav Avadya previously quoted. That Enochanami. The Rambam is not saying that you have to do this because otherwise, when Hashem gets into a bad mood because of some other thing, He's going to come for you also. The Rambam's not saying that. But nevertheless, presumably based on Moshe and maybe some other things, the Rambam is saying, nevertheless, forget punishment. Attitudinally, you have an opportunity to do a tremendous mitzvah, not only a mitzvah that's important in its own right, but a mitzvah that symbolizes, reminds us, connects, is equivalent to all the other mitzvahs. Anyone who is remotely aspirational about his life of Torah and mitzvahs, how could you not possibly do it? Yes, Ami. Yes, so that's going to be in the continuation. We're going to see a significant part of the rest of the tshuva will be not only about the davening issue, but specifically relating to the whole idea of wearing a talis or not. And it will be an opportunity, which Rav Avadya is always happy to take, to talk about how terrible the typical Ashkenazim are for not wearing a talis. But of course, the real Ashkenazim, the German community, does wear a talis even during davening for single people. Let's turn over for a second and look at the footnote there on the back. The footnote is longer. I abbreviated it a little bit. I did took out a lot of the sources from this footnote. But the basic point of the footnote I thought was important enough that we should see. Makor divrei HaRambam. Again, which part? The Rambam who said that tzitzis are so important because they're equivalent to all of the other mitzvot based on Uri'isam Oso, Zachartem. So it says, the Rav Avadya, where did the Rambam get this? From the Gemara Menachos Mem Gimel Medved, a different Gemara we haven't seen previously. What did the Gemara say there? Another incredible chazal about the importance of tzitzis. Gedola mitzvah tzitzis, she shakula. It's equivalent in weight, so to speak, in importance to all mitzvot. So what does that mean? You'll see the tzitzis and you'll remember. So this is the famous Rashi you probably did learn in elementary school. There's a hint to this, if you're good at math. Ki tzitzis ola begimatria sheish meot, right? The word tzitzis is 600. Ushmona chutim shebetzitzis, the eight strings. Right, if you thread them through on the four corners and they fall over in half, there's two on each, that's four times two is eight. Chamishik sharem, the five knots. Basach hakol, ola l'cheshbon, you add to that 13 to 613, keneged the tayag mitzvah shenistavol Yisrael. Right, and how do we know there's 613 mitzvahs? That's the Gemara at the end of Masechet Makos. V'chein kos v'tosos v'brachos v'bababasra. Haramban, Parsha Shlach, Ramban ala Torah, Shlach, where the Parsha of Tzitzis is. Ramban is not willing to leave well enough alone, right? There was probably some annoying kid, maybe one of you were them, sorry, you know, some math guy or some gematria guy who didn't let his kindergarten or his elementary school teacher get away with this. So, forgiveness to all those people, you're actually mechavim to the Ramban. The Ramban says, whoa, not so fast. You know, it's cute, but it doesn't really work. Harei tzitzis kosov chaser yud. Right, you're going to do the gematria, you're missing the yud. You know, it only works out to 613 or 600 if you have three yuds. It doesn't have yud. So he points out, however, ulam bepsikta zutrasa, if you look in a medrash, sham isa v'haya lechem letzitzit. Which pasuk do they use to darshan? Not just not the word tzitzis in the usual parsha, but here, letzitzit, with the lamid. Shel letzitzit mashlima shloshet hayudin hachaserim b'shlosh pamim shakosav behem tzitzis. So even though in the parsha, there's three times the word tzitzis appears without the yud, but says the psikta, if you use the litzitzis, so that lam, it gives you 30 that you were missing. So if you take out all, if you don't have the three yuds there, nevertheless, you have the lamid that keeps up with it. And you shouldn't think this is only in an obscure medrash. That's the Tosfos perush al ha-Torah. So that's number one. So I just thought it's cute. You should be aware, again, this is the gematria, which many of you, I'm sure, if not all of you, learned at some point in your very young age. So it's true if you're one of those guys who actually adds up the gematrias, depending on which time, since it comes up a lot in the Torah, but a lot of times without the yud, so apparently the Ramban noticed that too. But nevertheless, if you use a litzitzis, so then you get the 30. Fine. But the reason I really quoted this, a footnote, is because I was not aware of the Eben Ezra. If it's striking for the Rambam and Mishnah Torah to have a little Musar, get a load of an Eben Ezra. We usually think of as the Rishon who didn't like to have any fun. Right? He's the wet blanket on everything, right? Rashi and even the Ramban have all sorts of, you know, fantastic pshatim. And then the Eben Ezra comes and says, yeah, but it doesn't say that. Right? You know, it's like a competition. You know, who had less fun, the Rashi Bam or the Eben Ezra? You know what I mean? You know, it's so literal and technical. You know, come on. So here, take a look. The Eben Ezra, Ben Avram Eben Ezra, look what he says. You know, Ravajah's Bekiyas is not just an obscure Chuvas. It's just a Rishonim al Torah too. So Parshat Shlach. Hinei, the mitzvah al kol mi sheish lo beged v'arba kanfos shitkaseh bo bayom tamid. Right? Now again, he's not saying that if you're wearing it, there's a chiyuv. That's the chumash. It's an avera not to put on for a tzitzis. He's saying if you have any opportunity, i.e. you own four corners. So in the time of Chazal, where that was the style of clothing, you got a robe or a cape with four corners. Or, in our case, you got a little white thing in your drawer with the tzitzis on them. Says the Eben Ezra, there's a mitzvah to wear them, not only to wear them, to wear them all the time, tamid, v'lo yasir renu me'elav, never to take them off. Why? Because so doing, she is kor mitzvah Hashem. You remember Hashem. V'hamit palim b'taz v'shat ha'tvila, yasu kein b'avor shikru b'kriya shema v'elchem l'titit. Why is there, we mentioned about davening, we're going to get to that back in Ravaj's the body of the tshuva in a few minutes, but says Eben Ezra, of course, the reason that there's some added emphasis to wear it on during davening is actually for kriya shema, because we mentioned tzitzis, right? It would be a little bit of an awful, you know, it's an ultimate indictment. You know, it's one thing if, like, you know, you're not wearing tzitzis during the day. Maybe no one notices, quote unquote. But while you're talking about the parsha of tzitzis not to be wearing tzitzis, it's an embarrassment. Nevertheless, and that's again going to be a mainstream idea which Ravaj is going to pick up on. But look at this, the last line and a half is the best part. Avalafi da'ati, says Eben Ezra, Yoser hu chayiv lisate b'tzitzis b'shar shos hayom mishas ha'tfila. No, again, I'll paraphrase and embellish in my own style. You come to the high school principal, you come to your Rebbe, I can't, Rabbi, I hate tzitzis, I don't want to wear tzitzis. No, in davening you don't have to, says Eben Ezra. In davening, it's okay. Leman yizkor v'leyasaver b'cholsha, ki b'shasa tfilo yasavera. No, how much bad things can you do during davening? Now, of course, he wasn't talking about talking during davening, which should be another sicha, but not for now. Right, but you know, at the end of the day, you're in shul, you're in davening, whether it's chakras with your tefillin on or any other minyan. How bad is it gonna be? I mean, really, other lashon hara and the avera of talking during davening, neither of which should be minimized at all, and neither of which are appreciated, unfortunately. But there's pretty much the limit to what you're gonna do in shul. So says Eben Ezra, if you're not gonna wear tzitzis then, but when you're in college, when you're at work, all the other, when you're going out to eat. So then you really need tzitzis because you don't have the natural insulation or inspiration of the shul or the tefillah. You dafka in the other times need it. So it's true, if you're looking for like some philosophical or spiritual symmetry or symbiosis, while I'm saying, you know, v'yomer Hashem, I also wear a talis, I'm also wearing tzitzis. Oh, that's beautiful. But practically, tachlis, says Eben Ezra, if the purpose of tzitzis is to remind you not to sin, again, no one quotes it in this tshuva, but again, there are other mamari chazal that speak about, you know, people who are about to do the most serious averos, and as they were getting undressed, you know, they saw their tzitzis, you know. Yosef saw the picture of his father, but some other chazal, you know, it was their tzitzis at that last minute, you know, that held them back from sin. So there's so many things, says Eben Ezra, that's dafka when you need the tzitzis. Because it's so important. And all this was inspired, going back to the body of the text, by the Rambams, again, you know, ode to the important mitzvahs of tzitzis in a very beautiful Musar statement. Okay, getting back, left-hand column where the big star was. So it's not only the Rambam. Chayin Kosva Tur of Shulchan Aruch. Shafo Bishen Adam Chayav Liknos Talish Arba Kavos Kei Shizchayv Mitzvah Tzitzis. Eladzav Gim Rots Alovosh Talish Bas Arba Kavos Chayav Atil Bat Tzitzis. Nevertheless, Mikol Makom Tov V'Nachon Shkol Adam Yezohir V'Zori Lovosh Talish Kotan B'Meshach Kolayo Kedei Shizkor HaMitzvos Chol Eis U'Bechol Shoa. So again, you see that the original comment of you're going to, you know, get punished and burn when Hashem's anyway in a bad mood, that by the time you get to Shulchan Aruch, is left out, and the Rambam is left out, because, as the Rishonim pointed out, that the idea that you can get punished, that's really when you are going against social norms, right? The peer pressure and the social norm is to have four corners. You go out of your way not to, that deserves to be punished, even though there's technically no Aveira. In our culture, where that's not true, so all these post-game, including Shulchan Aruch, aren't willing to say you're going to get punished, but nevertheless talk strongly about the tremendous opportunity and why you'd be foolish not to. Then he adds another chazal, v'chein amru chazal in Shabbos Taf Kuf Nun Gimel Amud Aleph, v'chol eis yu begadecha levanim. I think that's a pasuk right in Kohelet, that you should always be wearing white clothing. What's that an allusion to? Zu tzitzis. V'shemen aroshcha ayichaser, elu atzfilin. Amru b'yurshami yu b'menachos, shkal zor b'mitzat tzitzis, zocha o makabel peyer shchina. Right? So we're just collecting, and it's only a very small sample of all the very eloquent and dramatic statements in Chazal about how important the mitzvah tzitzis is. We start off by saying how catastrophic not wearing tzitzis is. We seem to have left that, but it's not a zero-sum game. Even if that may not be actually fair or true to apply, but nevertheless, it does not follow that there's no upside or there's no urgency to wear tzitzis. On the contrary, from the Rambam, through these other Rishonim, through Shulchan Aruch, through Tur, and all these Gemaras backing it up, it's very, very important, if not urgent, if not strictly obligatory, to be wearing tzitzis as regularly as possible. Now, with all of that in mind, he now gets to the issue not only of you and me, but what about kids? How important is it to educate people with this? So not surprisingly, he says, very. Lefi zeh nira, shemitzvah lechanech amet haketanim, shehigiyu lemitzvah chinuch, mitzvah tzitzis, kosh amar chazal. And he says, it's not Rav Vadya's Chiddush, it's already in a Gemara. He's just elaborating on it in light of everything he said. The Gemara in Sukkah very famously, Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph, says, Katan Hayodei Lisatei B'Tzitzis, once a child is old enough to wear Tzitzis, Aviv Lokeach Lo Talis, his father should get him a Talis. Just on a technical level, we see from this Gemara, and this is the way we paskin, when it comes to Mitzvah Asei, what is the right age for being Mechanech children? The answer is it goes by the Mitzvah. It also goes by the child, because the more abstract mitzvos obviously have to be older for, but it also depends on how precocious the child is, right? The more precocious, the smarter a child is, the more they may be able to appreciate an abstract mitzvah. Something as basic as putting tzitzis on, you don't need to be that old. So how old is mitzvah l'sa'atei b'tzitzis? I don't know if there's a strict number, but I can tell you a common minhag is at least to wait till after toilet training. Right? It's not so bekovedic if, you know, the tzitzis are going to get caught in the diaper. So that we don't do. But once a child's ready toilet trained, then I think it's very, very common. At latest, I would say once the kids go to school. But I know many, many families, you know, by the time the child's ready even two, let alone three, they're putting on these little cutesy tits that have, you know,
Train.
That's Amitai had, or, you know, I was thinking of, what was the purple dinosaur called again?
Barney.
That was a big thing when my kids were younger. Barney, or, you know, the choo-choo train guy.
Thomas.
Baruch Hashem. Okay. Ubesifrei Zuta, a Medrash Amru. Dabrel b'nei Yisrael v'amarta alehem v'asulhem tzitzit. What do you see from that? Lazhir al haketanim. Mikan amru atinach. Ha'yodei l'satei b'tzitzis. Oh, you look at Lotas. It's another source. And also in a Medrash. And it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. Tat-tat-tat-tat. Lafichach nochon l'chanech haketanim b'talis katan. And then he quotes all sorts of other sources, including someone I never heard of, the Shemin Rokeach, who again extols this in the most, you know, dramatic terms. Yisrael kedoshim heim uminhogam la'asos lebneihem akatanim begish al-brakampos and matzitzis l'chanuch ma'mitzvos ve'ein l'shanos min ha'mitzvos. Then he quotes all sorts of other people, and then he adds at the end of the paragraph, morei batei sefer lezareiz tamidehem, teachers should be encouraging their students shehigiyu l'klal chinuch l'chanuchem b'mitzvah yikara zu. So step two is not only is it important, well, you don't have to wait till you're an adult and you're worrying about schar v'onesh. We should be mechanech them. And again, you could have argued that the need for chinuch is only for strict obligations. After all, I want to make sure my children know what to do, because when they hit bar bat mitzvah, well, in this case I'll say bar mitzvah, don't get me on that topic, when you say bar mitzvah, because then if they're not wearing tzitzis, they're going to get punished. But in this case, if you're telling me they're not going to get punished anyway, maybe there's no need for chinuch, or no urgency for chinuch. And the answer is no. You see from all these other makarot that in fact, despite the fact that it's not a strict chiyuv if you don't have four corners, nevertheless, not only is it a good thing to do when you're an adult, you can, you know, get rewarded for it, it's even a very important and urgent thing to teach children to do. Now he adds, the last part is where he's going to get on his digression and his rant about taluses. We have 5 minutes, let's just do that. We'll get as far as we can. Right? They wear a talis, the Sfaradim. You shouldn't wait till bar mitzvah. Even a little kid, once he's old enough to wear the talis in shul, should be wearing it. Again, I add this point not because it's going to add so much substantively, but it's an important methodological point. Rav Avadya is very comfortable quoting the Zohar even in a halachic context. It says not just not only in the Nigla, but it's even in the Nistar, in the mystical sources. Shekola kori kriya shema below tzitzit ki'ilu made eder sheker ba'atzmo. Now that's a term, a concept we have from the Gemara about tefillin. But the Zohar says it about tzitzis as well. The Mishnah Berurah quotes the Zohar, v'hosti b'shem achai odom, shema shenogu mehahamon am lihpalel b'derech b'litalit. This is Rav Avadya's favorite Mishnah Berurah. Because this verse, the Mishnah Berurah admits that the Sfardim are right. Says Rav Avadya, says the Mishnah Berurah, I don't understand, I don't have a good explanation, says the Chafetz Chaim, why Ashkenazim, by which he meant, of course, Polish, Lithuanian, and Russian Ashkenazim, don't have their single boys wearing a talis during davening. Why not? They just rely on a tzitzis. Lo tovo seems, says the Mishnah Berurah. Shal pi harov, hatalis katan eino asui kalacha, b'chol peratav, shiu ru'i levarech alav, latzeit b'yidei chovar ha-mitzvah. We know it's not so simple what bracha to make on a talis katan. That's why we have a different bracha. Al mitzvah tzitzis. We don't say the true bracha of lisatei. And even the al mitzvahs, it's not really clear how long. I remember when there's a Shalvi Yusef HaMashiach, Rav Moshe Tzuriel. Now he's just like an older Talmid Chacham in Bnei Brak. He's an American. He's one of these people who's like mamish, like an encyclopedic mind. Unbelievable what he knows, like a computer. It's like Rav Avadya-esque, really. Rav Chaim Kanievsky-esque, like on that type of level, that type of brain. And he used to give and I remember him talking about how, I don't know, Chazanish or others held how important even the talis cut and how long it has to be. How if you were wearing nothing else, you would be tanua. Like it covers everything. And we like, okay. And then he just started getting undressed. And all of a sudden he pulled out his talis cut and was like, whoa! So I'm not prepared to talk about it, and it's not our topic. Rav Avadya's not getting into how big your tzitzis, your talis cut have to be. But the Mishnah Berurah alludes to the fact that it's not so simple. On Lav Dafke, everyone's wearing clothes that would really, truly, truly meet the size of strict obligation, let alone that there's a discussion in Rishonim about the material. You have to wear wool, what about cotton, right? There's a whole discussion, I think I gave a Shana Alef Chug last year about, right, mesh tzitzis, polyester, right? There's all these discussions. So who knows what you're doing, what you're relying on. Says the Mishnah Berurah, at least during davening, shouldn't you be wearing something that's unequivocally, unambiguously fulfilling the mitzvah? Shouldn't you be wearing something? Says the Mishnah Berurah, but we don't do it. It's not our minhag. I don't know why, says the Mishnah Berurah. Right? So, the bottom line is, the Mishnah Berurah just throws his hands up. That didn't move the needle. I mean, other than you know, Sfardim and, you know, the Yekes, the German Jews, no one else does it. But there's not really a good reason for it. So then he quotes the other Makoros about this. Again, we don't have time. We'll skip a little bit. He quotes that maybe the Gemara is against the Zohar, but then he quotes from Shlomo Kluger, who is Miyashev, that depends on what we're... Anyway, he goes through all sorts of things, but nevertheless, he makes sure, if you take a look, about 60% of the way down, where the first word on the line is Maharil. The Maharil, who was, you know, from the leaders of Ashkenazic Minhagim, Sheminhagim, Shigam Bachurim, Gedolim, Enem, Esatim, Metals, Gorol, Achenosim, Lemnoshim, it's a terrible thing. So again, he was, the Germans followed this, but the rest of Ashkenazim didn't. So they rely on all sorts of kulas. He doesn't think this is a good thing, and he's very, very against this, and after all, the Mishnah Berurah is against it, and Sfardi, Poskim are against it. Let's go to the left-hand column and just see one last thing before we conclude. B'Sefer Chassidim. Sefer Chassidim is a very, very interesting source. We don't have time to get into all the unique things and influence of the book Sefer Chassidim. Kosev, Ma'ase ba'odam sh'amar lo meis echad b'chalom sh'yomos. This, by the way, is typical of Sefer Chassidim, i.e. weird stuff. Says Sefer Chassidim, there was a guy who had a dream where a mace, a dead person, came to him and told him, you're going to die. U'pamachas amar lo hisvada ki b'heber yomos. Then he came back and says, you know, you better say vidui because you're dying soon. V'alkol chalom ha'im as'ana. And each time he had this dream, he would fast. He was crying in bechia. And this was, these dreams were so real to him and so traumatic, he actually got sick physically and was going to die. And then he eventually saw a cloud a big white cloud, and a picture of a person carrying something in gold. Udemus adam acher shemisate batalis, and another picture of a man wearing a talis. V'amar, and in the dream he is told, v'zchush ata bachur v'atamisate batzitzis, but you're going to, because even though you're not married, but nevertheless you're wearing tzitzis, you're wearing a talis, v'hazov shenisate l'tamil chacham ani, right, and you also give tzedakah and you help people, p'da'ucha min hamavis v'tichya, you're going to survive, you'll live. And when he had this final dream, miyad he is the Venitzel Hisrape. His spirit was so lifted, and in fact his physical health got better. Ayin Shar. Okay. So says Rav Adya, he's happy to take it. L'chaynachon ma'od, l'chan chaktani machal migil sheish. So he says, okay, you don't have to wait for the potty train. You can wait till 6. But he says 6 for a talis gadol. I would say even younger for tzitzis katan, for talis gadol. But for talis gadol, he says 6. She'aleim b'shas kriya shema v'tfila mikol shekein sheish la'oros la'bachurim shegilu kalamitzus afal bisha enim nosin she'aleim lis'ate b'talis gadol b'shas kriya shema v'tfila mevada talis gadol sh'tachas b'dam. So say Rav Adya, at minimum, when you hit bar mitzvah. But certainly by the time you're 6, that should be the chinuch. And of course, talis, you know, cutting a tzitzis even earlier. And then in the sikum, again, this is one of the characteristics of Rav Adya, he always has a nice sikum at the end. He says, you know, bottom line, even though it's not strictly an obligation, you're not necessarily doing a sin, but it really is the right thing to do, losing an opportunity for mitzvos. And once he's doing that, he piles on, of course, the right thing to do is to wear a talis as well. And again, the last word I would say about this, again, I hope it's not, it may not be needed to anyone at this table, but who knows who will be listening to this. And Stom, it's just important for yourself or for anyone you come in contact with. I think there's two points. One is the most obvious, but the one I think is also important, which is the overall point of these Mamari Chazal are tzitzis are a perfect barometer of your attitude. Whereas if you look at a life of Torah Mitzvot as an opportunity, you know, what can I do to make Hashem happy? What can I do to get closer to Hashem? Or just how much do I care about my mitzvos? So if that's your attitude, who wouldn't want a relatively easy opportunity to score points? You know, that's just the bottom line. You know, a lot of things we have to do that are hard. This is actually relatively easy. I don't care how sensitive your skin is. That's number one. The second thing, which is related, but I would say slightly different, you know, in the communities that we come from, obviously more familiar with America, but I think it's probably true in other communities as well, it's a litmus test. Right? Certainly in high school. The kids, I'm not saying that you're a bad person just because you don't wear tzitzis, but the guys who are doing the bad stuff are also not wearing tzitzis. And the guys who are doing the good stuff, I don't mean you're a nerd, you know, learning all day, but the good from kids, they're wearing tzitzis. And everybody knows this. It's a statement. I don't care how many times you tell me not, I don't believe you. It's a statement. A person who chooses to get grown up in Yeshiva High School X or Y, I don't care if it's Melbourne or Johannesburg or Teaneck, you choose not to wear tzitzis, you're making a statement. I don't want to be among those. I want to be among... So that's already something that, again, I think calls into question, you know, something much, much deeper. That attitude or that statement is far more important than the technicalities. And I think that you see that already in the past. Again, the Rambam wasn't living in, you know, in the social milieu of what it means to be monorthodox in 2017. But apparently it was even true in the Rambam's time. That it's a statement, and therefore that's why there's that level of urgency even in the Rambam, even in Mishneh Torah. So again, it's something to be embraced. I'll just end on one last story. There's a very famous story, the Rav used to quote it and others, about the Vilna Gaon on his, you know, on his deathbed, that he was crying, and they thought he was crying because, you know, he was going to die, you know, so that didn't bother him. What bothered him, he says, they said, you're going to Olam Haba, Vilna Gaon, you're not worried about going to Gehenim, you're going to Olam Haba, it's the Vilna Gaon. He says, I know, but then you can't do mitzvos, whereas in this world, for nothing, I could be wearing tzitzis and getting hundreds and hundreds of mitzvos every second. And that, okay, so we're not on the Vilna Gaon level, but that's an attitude where you're so upset about death because I can't fulfill tzitzis, right? But again, it's an extreme example of the Vilna Gaon. We're not on that level. I'm certainly not. But the point is, tzitzis are a barometer. They're like a litmus test for your attitude in general, which is, I think, obviously some of it should, you know, we should all be passionate about.